decision-making about ways in which to solve our budget challenges and why some decisions were made and others that were to have been similar in nature with regard to the funds that were appropriated back into the are appropriated for general fund purposes, why this fund, why not other funds? Secondly, we want to look at the workings of the Department of Aeronautics with regard to the way in which projects are awarded, where they are right now, the complexity of that process, so that the legislature will have, I would hope, much wider understanding and appreciation for that fund and its impact on airport safety throughout the state of Minnesota, and then to hear from those whose work in the state of Minnesota is directly impacted by decisions that are made here in the Capitol by the governor and the legislature with regard to the state airports fund. As most of you know, we do have a working group looking at the structure of the airports fund, chaired by Senator Jungbauer and Representative Dill in the House. Their charge was to see if there are more efficient and equitable ways of raising revenues to support that fund. Little did they know that it would have been taken, the fund itself taken away before their report, and I serve on that committee too, that working group was, their work was even finished. And then with regard to the budgeting, fourth point that we hope people will address is there a way of structuring the airports fund, not so much the sources of revenues, but the structure of it itself, that would make it less vulnerable to grabs from the general fund, for the general fund, and even perhaps some speculation about why it appeared to be inviolate for almost 50 years, and then all of a sudden in 2003, it was a prime candidate for a taking, and then also in 2008. We've had budget crises before, notably in the Cui years, where we had special sessions. The fund was not rated during those years, as far as I am aware. So that is the purpose of today's hearing. We appreciate folks being here, and we're going to start with a brief overview of the State Airports Fund from our nonpartisan fiscal staff and city council, from Ms. Berezovsky and from Ms. Boy, to give us the background, general background, but also what happened that led to the takings of this fund. And we and then we'll proceed from there to number two on our agenda. Ms. Berezovsky.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Members, in the handouts that have just been coming around, you should have one that looks like this. It's headed State Airports Fund, and those are my notes that I'm going to just briefly present to you now. The State Airports Fund was initially established in 1945, and it is a creature of statute, and I did include in my notes all of the statutory references for the sections that I'll be talking about. Money in the fund is appropriated to the Department of Transportation, and typically in our biennial budget appropriations bill, there is an aeronautics section, and that is where the State Airports Fund money appropriations can be found. There are three basic statutory sources for aeronautics funding, and the statutes require that the money from these three sources be deposited in the state airports fund. The first is the aviation fuel tax, and that is in the gas tax chapter. It's a 5 cent a gallon tax, but it varies down to a minimum of a half cent per gallon for the largest uses. Over 200,000 gallons per year is taxed at a half cent per gallon. The second source is aircraft registration tax, also statutory, and the third is the airline flight property tax, which is imposed on aircraft and flight equipment. The statute, which is, again, Chapter 360, lists the permitted uses of money in the state airports fund, and I've listed those on my notes. It has to do with development of non-MAC airports, non-MAC-owned airports. And the money can be used to acquire and construct and maintain airports around the state, to assist municipalities in marketing and initiating scheduled air service, to promote interest and safety in aeronautics through education and information, and to pay the expenses of MnDOT's Office of Aeronautics. Current appropriations from the fund, as I mentioned in the biennial budget process, there is always, I guess, as far as I know, an appropriation, an aeronautics appropriation that appropriates the money in the state airports fund. There are usually two activities that are appropriated. One is airport development and assistance, and the other is aviation support and services. And usually airport development is by far the larger amount. In the 2007 biennial budget, the appropriation was $20.3 million in each year for airport development and assistance out of the state airports fund, and that included $200,000 in the first year to fund that, the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force. In the 2007 biennial budget, the smaller amount for aviation support and services was $5.2 million first year and $5.3 million second year. And that carried a rider, as I think we do just about every biennium, for $65,000 each year for the Civil Air Patrol. Now, I see in my next bullet, if you're following along on my notes, I made a very significant typo in the last line of that last bullet. It should be $20.3 million, not $2.03 million. And I wanted to note there that the 2008 legislature in laws that I've cited, which was the budget balancing law, reduced the second year appropriation for airport development and assistance from $20.3 million to $5.3 million. And then I've just noted and cited the But I've noted the two significant transfers that we've talked about from the state airports fund. In 2003, and that language has been passed out to you, and it has this black rectangle drawn on it, if you're interested in looking at it. In 2003, the legislature directed the commissioner to transfer $15 million from the state airports fund to the general fund, and that direction came with an additional direction to transfer $15 million from the general fund to the state airports fund on July 1, 2007. Then the next significant piece of transfer legislation was in 2008 when the legislature directed the commissioner of finance to transfer $15 million from the state airports fund to the general fund, and there is no direction to repay the money in law.
Ms. Boyd, did you want to add to that, and then we'll see if members have questions. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair and members, you should have in your packet a sheet that looks like this, which is a State Airports Fund balance statement. And I've been told that finance may have an updated version of this if they're available to distribute. If not, I can show you where the changes are in this one.
This is the one we have Ms. Cloyd, why don't you just...
Okay, well, I'll start. And if we get a different one, that'll be fine. You can see that if we go through, focus starting on fiscal year 2008, that the beginning balance for the year for the fund was $2.78 million. You can see under receipts the relative amounts received from gasoline and special fuel taxes, airline flight property tax, and aircraft registration tax. The largest piece is the airline flight property tax, but these three are the main sources of revenue to the fund, as Ms. Brezovsky stated. There's some small earnings from departmental earnings and investment income. And then in 2008, you can see, you should be getting the new copy, so perhaps work off that, but it's the same under receipts. You can see that transfers from other funds, there was that anticipated $15 million transfer back from the general fund to the State Airports Fund 2008 to happen on July 1st. I believe it actually happened on May 21st of this calendar year. And then so the total resources available were about $36.4 million. The actual and estimated uses are what's going to change on this new statement. 2008, they were $26.06, and that has not changed. That's available to the Department of Transportation to fund projects out of the fund. There's a small appropriation to the Revenue Department under state government from that fund. And then on the back of the sheet, you'll see where it's changed is this new transfer to the general fund in 2008 of the $15 million, raising the total uses from $26 million to $41 million from the fund in 2008, and reducing the balance, the budgetary balance for 2008 from about $10.3 million to negative $4.7 million. For 08. So then if we go back to 09, the negative $4.7 million is transferred up to the balance forward. And what's changed in 09, if you skip down to actual and estimated uses, this number has changed from $26.16 million to $11.16 million, and that spending authority was reduced by $15 million in 2009 to keep the fund balance roughly the same at the end of the biennium, which will be $3.9
million. Okay, thank you very much. We can think what kind of the questions I have about what happened here is number one, the state didn't come through with a bang law with regard to the directive to, on July 1st, 2007, to transfer $15 million from the general fund to the state airports fund. I certainly think it will be of interest to the subcommittee to know why that was not done until after the budget bill was passed some 11 months later. And then, of course, immediately or within days, withdrawn. Why did that happen? Why didn't that money come into the state airports fund when the law that the legislature passed and the governor signed, same legislature, same governor. Why didn't that happen? And does that happen routinely other places, or is it just here that happened? And I'm interested in the Department of Finance and or Department of Transportation, perhaps finance first. Where else don't we make those kinds of transfers when we are asked to do so, or when the Department of Finance is directed to do so? Is it a common practice, or is this an extraordinary one that people just forget? Did somebody make a different decision, or was there interim legislation that said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. You can do it when you want to do it. I find it distressing, quite frankly, that that happened. Also, I'm interested in knowing why this fund was vulnerable to being transferred. Questions for the Department of Finance, and why not others that are essentially funded by either excise taxes or the flight property tax. Why wasn't the gas tax that goes to off-the-road vehicles? Why didn't we say, oh well, we need to fund K-12 education. We'll take their money. Why didn't we do that? We didn't take the health care access fund. That was a strong position of the legislature, but we didn't do that. Why this fund? This fund that serves a purpose only of providing projects for development projects, operations and maintenance, and navigational funds to promote airport safety in the non-MAC airports throughout the state. So those are our questions. Those are my questions for looking at this documentation and looking forward to the Department of Finance's, I hope, ability to satisfy my questions and to at least make me more comfortable with the process that was used, even if I'm not comfortable, will remain uncomfortable with the result. And how do we stop this from happening again? A process, not the result. We have to take money from the off-the-highway vehicles gas tax to support education, well, then I guess we have to take that, too. We have to take money from a health care access fund if we're, in the tank and need to support our schools as what is generally, I think, for most of us, our number one priority. Well, then let's have a level playing field in doing that. So with that, welcome Department of Finance. Here and would appreciate response to my inquiries.
Senator, rest of members, my name is Norman Foster from the Department of Finance. I wonder, could someone pass around the chart that I have?
Sure. Mr. Foster, welcome to the committee.
Senator Rest, as I think has already been talked about by staff, the legislature did direct the Commissioner of Finance to return the $15 million on July 1st, 2007. We apologize that did not happen on the day that it should have happened.
Like 11 months before. Why didn't it happen, sir?
Kind of give you a little background. I don't have a clear explanation, and I'll try and explain why. As you will see from the fund balances, both the general fund and the state airports fund, since that time, both the fund balances showed this repayment happening in fiscal year 08. And so we were well aware of it. We showed it in each of the forecasts. The sheet that I passed around shows the cash balance in the state airports fund, and I ran this from the warehouse to show you kind of the history of the events going back to 2003. Each of these parts of the chart is by fiscal year. And so back at the beginning of fiscal year 04, you can see the cash balance dropping from about $35 million to $20 million. That was the original $20 million transfer of cash from the State Airports Fund to the General Fund. And you can see each of the years, the cash balance in the State Airports Fund kind of drops down the first half of the year. That's as the airports, the regular appropriations are being spent on salaries and things, and also as the capital grants are being spent out. And then it gets replenished around the turn of the year when one of the revenue sources, I can't recall exactly which one, is due on January 1st.
Property tax.
So you can see that general pattern. In fiscal 05, which starts between July 1st, 05 and July 1st, 06, you can see that the mid-year boost wasn't quite as much. I think that was related to the Northwest Airlines bankruptcy and the deferral of the payments. But you can see the sort of cash balances. And as you noted, the transfer back was done late on May 21st this fiscal year. part of the background I'm giving you and why I'm showing you this chart is most of the transfers that we deal with are transfers between appropriation accounts from one in one particular fund to an appropriation account in another fund. These transfers that were directed in law between funds at a cash level are relatively rare. We should pick them up. I apologize again that we didn't. And part of the reason why it didn't come to anyone's attention was because there was sufficient cash in the fund to keep the activities going. Normally, what triggers the accounting action is someone needs funds in an account to get the activities underway for that year. That's the only explanation I can give you, is we just didn't pick it up because it was so unusual 4 years out. We should have, and I apologize.
Mr. Foster, I mean, when the you know, the governor and the legislature made we came to know was a last-minute decision, reaching a budget agreement to do this. Why didn't somebody look? If this was the final thing to make the budget agreement, or one of the final things to make the budget agreement work, wasn't there anybody saying, well, anything other than, well, we did it before, so we can do it again?
I think Senator Rest, when this item came into the discussion very late, the assumption was that the funds were there because the transfer had been tracked in the fund balances. It was only in looking to just verify that the cash was there that we uncovered that the transfer hadn't taken place yet.
Is this I'll call on just a second, Senator. Well, have you discovered that there are other interfund transfers that, even though you were carrying them on the books, you actually hadn't done? And I'm sorry, but that is such poor accounting practices. It's unbelievable that you didn't do that.
Senator Rest,
any other fund?
Senator Rest, there's none other that I'm aware of. I should also point out, just in case members hadn't heard, when the transfer was done, it was backdated to July 1st so that the interest the airports fund would have earned from July 1st was credited to the account.
Thank you for that. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I heard you say that the $15 million was transferred into the airport fund from the general fund, restored to the airport fund from the general fund, per the 2003 mm-hmm. law, after our finance bill was passed. So my question is, in order to balance the general fund budget, we took $15 million out of the general fund to transfer it back into the general fund. And put it into the airport's fund to transfer. So I'm not quite, it's not adding up to me.
Well, Senator Dibble, I will ask Mr. Foster to respond, but what he's saying is that on the books, there was an extra $15 million that had been assumed that it was transferred. They just hadn't done it in fact. Mr. Foster, you indicate that the earnings on that $15 million are going to be part of the airport's fund. Where are those earnings reflected on your spreadsheet here?
Senator Rest, the normal practice with fund statements is to update them in February and then also in November. At end of session, we only update for specific legislative action, so the revenue impact of that additional interest will be picked up in the November forecast.
That will be in the forecast, but we know that you didn't actually do that before. So how can we be assured that you're actually going to transfer the dollars on those earnings from July 1st to May, whatever it was, 21st? And have you calculated what those earnings are so that when we look at these spreadsheets in the future, we will be able to account for that?
Senator Est, I have a limited number. If someone could come and pass these are the accounting transactions for the corrections to the previous monthly interests. So this will show you the amounts that were added.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just getting back to that question, my question really is, I understand that it was assumed that the $15 million had been put into the airport's fund back in July 1st back on July 1st of last year, and so the spreadsheets that that Department of Finance staff was using, maybe the legislative fiscal staff was using, reflected that. But clearly, that $15 million was sitting in the general fund. So at what point do folks take a look at the bank statement and find out how much money is really in there? I recall also a conversation during the session, this recently concluded session, about how much money was sitting in the bank accounts over at the Higher Education Services Office because someone had left their job and, you know, people weren't tracking the shortage in the Pell Grant resources, and oh my gosh, we're off by tens of millions of dollars. And so all the budgeting that had been gone into the committee work to date was completely off by a factor of tens of millions of dollars because someone hadn't updated their spreadsheets and no one was taking a look at how much money was actually coming in, the actual checks that we're receiving and depositing in the bank. And so maybe Mr. Foster can help us understand a little better. When do we actually look at the real money? It makes me wonder how much money is laying around or not laying around. You know, we scramble for nickels and dimes in tight times, and sometimes it'd be nice to know how much there really is that we can use or not use.
Mr. Foster, do you have a response?
Senator Rest and members, I think the process, if this had not been done in May, it would have been picked up in the close, the accounting close. The fund statements clearly reflected this transfer should have taken place. That's the purpose of accounting close, is to verify that all the transactions that should have taken place did take place. We're very confident it would have been picked up in close. The statements that the legislature uses and the governor uses to make budget decisions are the budgetary fund balance statements, and both the airports fund and the general fund clearly show that in fiscal year 08, this transfer would have happened. So the reference point is clear, and there's no difference here. The spending authority in the airports fund is exactly the same as it would have been, whether the transfer took place on July 1st or May 21st. The interest credited is the same. We apologize again, but we don't believe there's any material impact on the operations of the fund.
So, if I...
Senator Dibble.
So, and Mr. Foster, forgive me, I'm not beating up on you or trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to understand. So the answer that I hear is that no one actually looks at the real accounts that we have in the bank
until
the end of the year. So we just deal with our own numbers, and then we do a reconciliation at the end of the year. No one's comparing those in real time.
And when is the accounting close?
The fiscal year ends on June 30th. Accounting closes usually sometime in August.
In August?
It varies each year.
Why isn't this going to happen again with other funds?
I think we can't guarantee it won't happen, but we will endeavor to make sure that we track
more. It won't happen with this fund.
More clearly that these transactions. This was a relatively unusual transaction in that it was 4 years out. Our accounting system doesn't allow us to set the transaction date to go 4 years in advance.
Well, so except this, that it had happened before. I mean, 4 years ago. I mean, or five years ago.
Difference is that was at the time. The other thing is it's just harder for both us and agencies to catch these things when they don't affect the day-to-day operations of the account, because that usually is what triggers it. There's no money in the fund on the first day. The transfer has to take place. But we apologize again. We should have caught it, and we should have done it on July 1st.
Well, I think, you know, in a way, it's not it's not so much an error by the Department of Finance as it is, and I concur with the Star Tribune editorial, it's an error in the way in which we do our budgeting when we're looking for, you know, dollars to fill a pothole, if you will, at the end of the session, and we have all of this budget negotiations. I don't know, maybe Senator Murphy was at some point involved in them, but I can assure you that the other four people here were not, and they were not done in public. If that proposal had come forward in a public meeting, I can assure you that Senator Jungbauer would have been all over it, and not just to have to make a speech at the on the Senate floor after the fact about at least some discussion about why it was more appropriate to take the airports fund than it was to take the gas tax for the off-highway vehicles or the health care access fund. Healthcare Access Fund had lots of advocates. The Airports Fund has a couple of advocates, but we have to know ahead of time that before decisions are actually being made, that particular fund or any funds are in play, rather than finding out about them after the fact. That's a political judgment that's made by the governor and the legislature about how to go about doing budgeting rather than the Department of Finance. But I certainly hope that there will be more care taken in the future when something like this comes up, because we now know that the airports fund is vulnerable. We don't know how many times it's going to be vulnerable. We don't know... But we're going to be, at least some of us, are going to be far more aware when we have a $2 billion deficit next year or more, that this is going to be a continual drawdown, taking away from airport safety projects in the state of Minnesota. So thank you, Mr. Foster. Any other questions for him or points that members would like to raise? Thank you very much. We appreciate your being here today.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chairman, in regards to the issue that you brought up earlier about nobody at this table knew what was going on.
But I accepted you. I'm assuming that you were involved at some point.
I had been asked about the airports fund. I told them it was a terrible idea. And they said to wrap the session up, the governor insisted upon it. So,
well, and the legislature acquiesced.
Yes.
I mean, you got two parties here, not one, two institutions, not just one. Mr. Workman. Mr. Workman, were you aware, before you begin whatever information and wisdom you're going to give to us today, were you aware that the transfer back that was to occur on July 1st indeed did not happen, and that it was only on a spreadsheet rather than in a bank account? And how did you I'm assuming you do some sort of monthly spreadsheet on your accounts and where dollars are coming in and so forth. Did you, on your records, internal records to your department, did you show the $15 million in the bank earning interest?
Madam Chair, members, I guess I need to first clarify something. Friday will be my first anniversary of this position. So last July, last June when I took this position, I was excited to think that we was one of the offices that had increased
money.
Budgets.
Yes.
And Kevin Gray is here, and I think he'd be more appropriate to answer the first part of the question. We go based on what our budget tells us we have available. And so... we don't necessarily watch the cash balance or the fund balance. We look to our central office folks to keep us from overspending our authority. So I was not aware of it until probably a few days before it was actually transferred in May. And to Mr. Foster's credit, my call back to him was, what about the interest? And within that same day, he had it figured out and said that the fund would be getting its interest.
So before you made that call, you were not aware of whether that was going to happen or not?
Madam Chair, that's correct, because we were looking at our budget, and we had shown that we had about $20 million in that airport development and assistance program. and we were building our program based on that assumption that that was the funded level we had.
And so, Mr. Workman, do you get monthly reports of, you know, reconciling what you think you have and what you actually have?
Madam Chair, we do get that. One of the things about our program is that this is the busy time. This is when the drawdown really starts because the process of the airports getting their projects proposed, getting the grants established, getting reviewed. In a lot of cases, they also use federal money, so it involves the FAA and review. So we're at, if you looked at our history, this is the time of year that the money starts being committed for those projects.
Mr. Workman, I mean, I'm a retired CPA, and I worked on tax returns at very busy times of the year, and my boss has never said to me, oh, well, because it's busy, you don't have to be accurate in filing somebody's tax return. I mean, I hope that your accountants, and I'm assuming you have some, maybe the one sitting right next to you, can give you, I mean, that's their job to give you more or as accurate information and as up-to-date as possible, and indeed in the busiest of times. Maybe we can hear from him, and then I'd like to come back and talk about the projects with you if I could.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Peter Buchan, and I think he may be able to shed some light on it, but I really think that the question you're asking really needs to be answered by our central office finance folks. We watch our budget authority, and that's what we operate off, and that's what our reports show. And when we're not spending a lot of money in that account, we go based on what our authority is.
In the Department of Finance is what you're saying.
I'm talking about the central office, our department, our Office of Finance, and our financial
people. And within the Department of Aeronautics.
Yes, Transportation.
Or in the Department of Transportation.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Buchan, can you help us here?
Yeah, I'm not an accountant. I manage the airport development section. I'm an engineer, Senator Rust. To answer your question,
engineers are important, but in this instance, I think we need accountants too.
Yeah, well, and we do rely on Kevin and other folks in our business section for that. Senator Rust,
maybe we could hear from him to respond to my question, and then we're very interested in knowing the impact of this transfer on projects and about the whole process of accepting applications for the dollars and dispensing them. But to know when you have money in the bank and interest earning and so forth. You'd identify yourself, please, for the committee.
Chair S. Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer with MnDOT. And to a couple of your questions, and I think that the key impact on the business side is did it impact projects, the selection time frame, and the awarding of projects? And if there is a silver lining in this miscue is the fact that there was no impacts on that end. Of course, the real impact is the $15 million resolution at the end of the budget session, which is another topic that you're going to be delving into as you discuss it and go down your agenda items. Monthly financial statements are indeed prepared, consistent with what you would expect, Chair Rest, as an accountant for the State Airports Fund. We closely monitor, especially focus on our appropriation authority and the spending and encumbrances against that authority throughout the year. And indeed, we've been tracking that very closely. We are in the fortunate position of having a strong cash balance in the State Airports Fund, irrespective of the $15 million being in there or not. That doesn't take away from the fact that that should have been caught, arguably, on both ends of the both the sending and receiving end of the transfer.
Did your statement show that the money had been received and was earning interest, however it's reported, over those 11 months?
Chair Rest, in going back, no, they did not. Our focus has been on the spending and encumbrance against the budgetary authority from the legislature. And in that vein, that's where we're tracking. So at no time did we if you will, slow down the process in terms of making commitments, spending commitments, or encumbrance commitments that will become spending over time. We were tracking our progress against spending. The total budget increased from an annual budget in the $20 million range to $26 million for each of the bienniums, which reflected the increased funding from the $15 million, $6 million each year of additional spending, and $3 million to buoy up our fund balance, if you will, in light of some of the volatility we'd been seeing with the airline industry, private registrations, and the like. Indeed, that was reflected in our financial statements. And again, a positive news that, quite frankly, we've been very successful in identifying projects and moving our spending and commitment level right up to the total appropriation authority that was given us by the legislature. So, again,
your financial statements have reflected the $600,000 in interest earnings.
Senator S., no, they would not have.
When would it have? After the accounting close that Mr. Foster referred to?
Chair S., they currently do reflect that $600,000 of interest in the account, and our fund balance should improve from the forecasted fund balance or the end of session fund balance of approximately $3.9 million to approximately $4.5 million. That would be what we call drop through to the bottom line, if you will. But that would not be reflected prior to, unless the cash and the interest generated from that had been in the bank on, if you will, July 1st. So in that vein, it's not reflected and will be reflected as a new revenue or additional revenues in the upcoming November forecast. So we should see our balance restated from $3.9 million based on the February forecast and the end of session impacts to a new revenue figure that would add essentially $600,000 to that fund balance.
Once the money is transferred back into the general fund, the interest earnings are lost. Or are those? Will that be reflected in the forecast?
Chair Rest, yes, it will. And I would probably modify that statement just a little bit. The accumulated earnings to date from July 1st through present will not be lost, but the fact that the decision was made to, as part of the balancing of the budget bill, future earnings on that $15 million will not be reflected in our ongoing revenue forecasts. And that would be an ongoing loss because that money would be sitting in our cash account earning interest. So from that perspective, the accumulated $600,000, we're not giving that back. That's staying in the fund. That's the good news. The bad news that an indirect impact of the $15 million being transferred back into the general fund is that we lose the interest earning power on that money, but it doesn't impact, again, the monies received to date for the interest earned.
And I would think then that also if the $15 million that was transferred back is being then sent out as part of the cash flow, that even though I'm sure there's complex inner relationships between dollars on hand and dollars being sent out, that there would be some impact on the general fund interest earnings as well. They just won't be there.
Chair Rest, that intuitively would be the case that while $600,000 on $17 billion probably won't be readily identified, it would have a negative impact to that extent on the general fund would be my assumption. But it is a positive November forecast budgetary impact to the State Airports Fund.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's go back to talking more about more pleasant things, and that is the work that that you all do in the Department of Aeronautics and how what your process is, the construction calendar, how the dollars flow in and out. If there are, as I'm looking on here, the local share, the way in which that that works, and what issues you see coming up that are going to have an impact on the ability of your department to complete all of these and the ones that are that are coming forward. We really do, in this subcommittee and in the Transportation Committee, we really do care about that a lot. Senator Dibble?
If I could add to your list of things to touch on during the presentation, I'm glad to see the federal share reflected in these in these big sheets. And I was wondering about that earlier. What implication, if any, is there for federal dollars that require a match or require some maintenance of effort or showing of some activity if we're losing
out on the state chair is not going to be there for these other projects?
Correct. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. A long list of questions for you, but I know that you were aware of our concerns and the desire for the information, so we're pleased to go back to you, Mr. Workman. We're eager to hear from you.
Thank you, Chairman and members. If I could just set, maybe give a little bit of an overview before Peter gets into the charts and the graphs and the numbers. And as an engineer, I have a tendency to go into those things, but I thought it would be helpful. Like I said, Peter manages the Airport Development and Assistance Program, and that provides financial assistance in the form of grants to communities who have airports for airport planning, facility improvement, and maintenance operations. He'll be providing details shortly. As background, and Senator Ress and Senator Jungbauer know that there are 136 publicly owned airports that are eligible for the funds of the State Airport Fund. 96 of those 136 are also part of what's called the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems, and that's the federal system, and that allows those 96 also to be eligible for some federal funding. And we'll get to Senator Dibble's question, I think, as part of the presentation. The other 40 airports depend solely on state airport funds for assistance in maintaining and improving their airports. When we received the repayment of the $15 million, as Kevin Gray pointed out, we got an increase in our airport development fund of $6 million in each of the current current fiscal year in 2009. And when I took the new position, you know, one of the messages that was very clear is we need to get that additional $12 million out in the hands of the airports for their funds, along with our normal program. We sat down with the airport community and the consultant industry and really said, you know, we need to show the legislature that what the needs are and that we can use this money. Historically, in the two-year biennium, the first year of the biennium is usually not funded or not, we don't spend the full amount of our appropriation. It's usually the down year, and in the second year, everything is ramped up. And so we were somewhat concerned about whether we could get projects on the books and deliver them by the end of this month. To our amazement and to the credit of the airports and the consultant community, we have committed all our funds for this year, and we probably have another $3 million of projects that we're going to be let early after July 1 using next year's funds. However, when you start looking at those charts, just a word of caution, it's a very fluid program. Airports do have to match at some point. They have to either match state dollars or to a certain percentage, and Peter will get into that, or federal dollars. And as you know, communities' priorities can change. They can have a major tornado that goes through a community, and all of a sudden their need to look at their things. The smaller the community, the more sensitive they are to economic changes. So the list you have in front of you are just a snapshot of proposed projects that the airports have said this is what we're going to do with the money and the grants that you're agreeing from our end to assist them in doing the projects. But first, bids come in high. Sometimes things happen. So I just want to caution you that that those lists are not cast in stone and that they can change and they do change. We expect some communities to change and either add, delete, or cancel their proposal.
Mr. Workman, could you explain what NPIAS means?
It's a national plan of integrated airports system, and that's the federal FAA system. So those airports are eligible for federal aid.
I see.
And with those comments, I'm going to turn it over to Peter to try to lead you through some of the charts and numbers.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Buick.
Senator Rest and members of the committee, I'm going to first talk from the sheets which you have, which is titled Airport Grant and Aid. It's an 8.5 by 11 rather than the charts, give an overview of the process. We initiate the project for requesting or identifying projects by sending out a letter each year to all of the municipalities that own airports and requesting them to update their capital improvement program, a 5-year capital improvement program, and submit that to us. That usually takes place in the late fall, and then in January or by January, we have a completed statewide CIP that we can work from. One of the things in your packet, and you don't have to pull that out yet, is the 2009 capital improvement program. Projects can vary from a piece of maintenance equipment to the total reconstruction of a runway or taxiways. So projects has a very broad meaning with respect to airport improvements. The capital improvement program then that we work from serves two purposes. We get a small piece of federal money that I won't focus on the federal program right now, and then for state projects. And as Gary said, the list is kind of fluid, and living and airports will request to make changes to their CIP throughout the year. We divide, to work with the airports, we've divided the state into 4 geographic regions for managing the workload. The teams within those sections work closely with the airports and their consultants on their airport projects so that from the list that's in the CIP, we have a good indication of what's actually advancing and moving forward. When an airport is ready to move forward and actually build something, they need to do that through a letter requesting that. We then identify that for a project and tell them if funds are available that they can proceed. The grants are not actually encumbered until there are bids in hand. So once the airports are in communication with my staff and know that there's funding available and that they can proceed to bid, but the funds aren't encumbered until the bids are in hand so that we can write the grant agreement at that time with the actual funds, which then it's routed for signatures and approvals through the city and our offices.
Is that a common practice, and not just in the Department of Aeronautics, but just the way in which grants are given in any other area of state government that involves maybe state matches and local matches? Certainly there have got to be other areas in state government that there are, kind of change orders in a plan moving forward. Are you aware of that, or is this the only place where that kind of fluid negotiations and contracting, understanding of contracting is done in this way?
Senator Rest, this is the only grant program that I've worked with directly. We do within MnDOT have a state aid office, which also offers grants and aids to communities and counties. But I'm not real familiar of their internal workings.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. You had asked for a list of projects, and you actually have 2 fairly long spreadsheets. Maybe I'll back up and finish with a sheet that I have. If you turn to the second page, there's eligibility criteria that an airport needs to be owned by a municipality, needs to be open to the public, needs to be on an approved state airport systems plan, and needs to be zoned or in the process of zoning. Some considerations are listed there. Projects, because of the size of our fund, projects also often take place over several years and need to be phased. So, of course, once a project gets started, they're at the top of the list to continue in that following year. Safety is a broad term because safety can be controlling wildlife so that the deer are not on the runways when aircraft try to land, or they can be safety improvements related to removing obstructions or improving the pavement. So that's kind of a broad category. We do leverage a fair amount of federal funds in any one year, so that's a consideration to make a project either whole or to fund things that would not be eligible for through federal funds, and that may be their parking lot on the land side, the access road coming into the airport. We may fund that, whereas it wouldn't be covered under the federal grant program. So we make projects whole either because there's a shortage of federal funds or because things are ineligible. There's also the 40 airports that Gary referred to that do not have access to federal funds. State funds is the only way that they can improve their airports and maintain it. So that's a consideration if they don't have access to federal funds and an airport that
characterizes those 40.
What characterizes those 40? They're not in the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems, so they're not in the federal system. So we work with them to try and make sure that their needs can be met. If an airport that's eligible for federal funds may direct them to use their federal funds so that we can fund an airport that doesn't have access to federal funds.
How does an airport become eligible for the federal system?
They need to apply, and they actually apply to the federal government through the Office of Aeronautics, and then we pass that on with a recommendation that they be included in the NPIAS. The criteria for being included in the NPIAS are that they are at least 20 miles from another airport that is federally eligible, and that they have 10 based aircraft, and so that's the base criteria and the ultimate decision.
Objective, measurable criteria that either keeps a airport in the system or that excludes it.
Senator Ress, that's correct.
Okay.
Senator Dibble.
With respect to these priority considerations, are these priorities a function of state statute or rule? And then how are they operationalized? Do you use like a weighting system, assign 10 points, you have a point system.
Senator Rest, Senator Dibble, this is not through statute. Through statute, the zoning requirement that an airport be zoned in order to receive funding. But as far as the priority considerations, these are just priorities within our office over time that we've developed for working with the airports. And in a time of short funding is really where they kick in the strongest.
Okay. Go ahead.
The timeline is the last page in this handout, and this is only for doing a state project that doesn't include federal funds. And rather than go through that, it shows a fairly long list from inception of the CIP through getting your payments. I will make note that at the bottom it says before 2013 the project will be closed. There is a statutory requirement that our grants be no longer than 5 years for capital improvement projects. So that's where the 2013 date came from.
And that's a moving average going forward, right?
That's correct, Senator West.
The
next two sheets that I will go to is one of the longer sheets. At the top it says 2008 projects using state monies. And this is not all 2008 projects. This list we compiled after the legislation passed for projects that were in the works that we had committed to airports that they could move forward with a project. These are those projects. On the last page of this handout, There is a previous encumbered balance, and I only show the state funds that we had already encumbered $5.4 million of the current fiscal year 2008. And then the grand total is near our total available balance that we had identified for construction of about $13.7 million. So that's within $200,000 of the total that we had available. The next list that I have that's labeled at the top 2009 projects for calendar year 2000 construction. Communities and projects look at construction years more than fiscal years. These were projects that, again, based on the individuals in my regions that work with the airports, they were planning on these being done yet this summer during construction season, but they would have been done with 2009 funds. This does not cover the whole year. That was just this calendar year. The bottom of the second page does show the $9,360,000
these projects that are your 2009 projects will not be going forward. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Some of them are. All of them are going to be in hold.
That's correct, Senator Ress.
And will they then be subject to, as the next year comes about, being reprioritized based on the priorities that you list on selecting them, or are these ones that will maintain their current priority level wherever they happen to be in your overall scheme?
Senator Rest will request a new capital improvement program, and we've actually been encouraged to ask for that earlier than in the fall. And we will get a new list and work from that 2,000 projects that are identified for 2010. We'll work from that list. These will not be priority projects that will be at the top of that list. The airports, as Gary had indicated, are kind of fluid, and we don't know that these projects will still be their top priority in 2010. They may have diverted for local reasons those funds elsewhere.
So, Mr. Bregu, you would be working with the local airport managers and cities to come up with a new priority list.
That's correct, Senator Rest.
And you anticipate doing that when again?
We've been asked to do it this month, to ask for a new CIP request. And then the communities, as I understand from talking to them, they typically start their capital improvement process in the July-August timeframe for their own local needs. That covers everything, not just airports. So that would fold into their process.
Okay.
Member.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Just looking at this, on the 2009 projects, do none of these qualify for a federal contribution?
Senator Rest, Senator Dibble, these projects, if the airport is part of the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems,
yes,
they
yes.
do qualify for federal funds. This was only projects that included state dollars, and they may, to get into the federal process a little bit, each airport that is not a commercial service airport, so a general aviation airport, gets access to $150,000 of federal funds and entitlement funds each year, and they can collect those funds for up to 4 years. The airports, even if they're qualified for federal funds, they may have already utilized those in previous years. So they could be eligible for federal funds but not have federal funds available at this time. Does that answer your question?
I was just wondering the difference between why we show the federal column on the 2008 and not the 2009.
Just when we pulled the list together, I asked for state local projects.
So the total project cost may be higher. There may be a federal portion that adds to the cost of the project for the 2009.
That's possible, yes.
Thank you.
Dibble.
Okay, thank you.
Madam
Mr.
Chair, Senator Dibble, the other thing about the 2008 list, as you know, the federal government is having trouble appropriating money to the FAA, and so they've been working under a series of continuing resolutions. So right now, The federal government and FAA are only funding are only funded three-fourths of their year through the end of this month. What we did was we helped the locals, because they're only getting three-fourths of their federal money, we helped the locals in leveraging state funds so that these projects in 08 that have federal funds could go forward. And in effect, what we did was we used some of that additional $6 million to fill the gap, because if they, we wouldn't have, then the locals would have had to pick up 25% of the share of the project. Normally on a federally funded project, it's 95-5.
Thanks.
Senator Saltzman?
Yes. I just want to thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to come today and sit at the table. I think what's troubling here is that when I see this list of projects that will be delayed, I sit on the Education Committee, and when we tried to identify funding for schools, we looked at pots of money within education, and QCOMP was one of those, where it certainly has its merits, but the pot of money that was there that we looked at was money that had not been committed yet, and that we saw that school districts are not applying for these monies, and there continues to be sort of this fund sitting there at the end of the year. And that's what I find troubling, is that as we move forward and that we have, you know, projected deficits in the future, that we need to look very carefully at those funds that are not being used across the board. And certainly education is extremely important to all of us, but I'm not sure that those funds are doing anything for student achievement. And if they're, you know, there were some final negotiations of trying to find a compromise there, but it is very troubling to see that, you know, we're trying to protect a fund that we're waiting for people to apply to use, and yet at the same time we have the, like, very important projects. But if you're not in K-12, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But that was, I guess, our concern with other committees trying to look within our own budgets for where we can find a better use of funds. And it's unfortunate that this was seen as just sort of a pot of money that, you know, could be raided. So I think we all have to just be aware of that and work with, you know, leadership across the legislature and also administration on that in the future.
Thank you. Did you have any further information you'd like to share with us?
Just Senator Rest, the other piece that I gave you is, and it's fairly large, is the 2009 Capital Improvement Program. So that some of the projects that are on the 2009 project list also would appear in here. There's some duplication. But this is all of the projects that, as of January of this year, the municipalities had identified. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? Anything further, Mr. Workman?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I look forward to getting an update periodically on what's actually happening with the airports fund. So we'll be asking you for that later in the year, what you're actually able to do. Senator Dibble?
Thank you. As I'm thumbing through this, the capital improvement program for all the various airports, I assume this is a This is the 5-year capital improvement program for each of them. Maybe not the comprehensive.
This is not. I do have a copy of that with me. If fine. You would like it, this is just 1 year.
Okay, 1 year. Okay, great. And yeah, seemed a little skinny for some of them. So okay, great. But I don't need to say it. That's fine.
Thank you very much. Information was very very helpful and very well presented. I'm going to ask Mr. Reichs from the Duluth Airport Authority to speak next. I understand he has a bit of a time bomb. And then we will proceed in order with the other folks who have consented to speak to us today. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Brian Ricks. I'm Executive Director of the Duluth International Airport and the Duluth Airport Authority. Also, I've brought Bill King with me this morning. Bill King is the Vice President of Business Administration at Cirrus Development, and would request that he could just say a few words when I'm complete with my testimony.
Yes.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, as I indicated, I'm Brian Ricks, Executive Director of the Duluth International Airport. I'm here this morning to testify regarding the $15 million transfer out of the State Airports Fund and the impact that transfer will have on the Duluth International Airport. As you know, the State Airports Fund was built by aviation users through aviation fuel taxes, airline flight property taxes, and aircraft registration fees, and is statutorily dedicated for investment in airports and aviation programs to support a safe and secure aviation system in Minnesota. It's critical this fund be used to support needed airport projects that will in turn improve safety and security, create jobs, and stimulate the economy throughout the state. Aviation users which pay into the fund should be assured these dollars are invested to maintain and improve aviation and not diverted for non-aviation uses. I don't believe, as we've discussed this morning, policymakers were aware of the severe impact this decision will have on private sector growth of jobs and investment throughout the state. The cut will have a profound impact on short-term development plans for the Duluth International Airport and potential expansions for aviation-related business, which depend on industry growth. As you may be aware, the Duluth International Airport is home to Cirrus Design, employing over 1,000 individuals in Duluth. Cirrus is the world's number one manufacturer of single-engine aircraft. Over the past 10 years, Cirrus has expanded facilities and operations on the south side of our airport and continues to grow, as was demonstrated by the announcement of three new products in 2007. Their new products were the Generation 3 version of their four-seat SR-22, a light sport aircraft, the SRS, and one of the most exciting products is the Jet product. Recent Cirrus expansions have used all developable real estate on the south side of the airport. As a result, Cirrus moved their jet research and development operations to the north side of our airfield at the beginning of this year in the former Northwest Airlines Airbus A320 maintenance facility, now deemed Cirrus North. Cirrus has committed to adding a minimum of 200 additional jobs in the near term to support the jet program. This expansion has resulted in the Airport Authority working to develop ready-to-build sites in support of future Cirrus jet manufacturing and other aviation-related support businesses. We recently obtained a commitment of $1.4 million in Federal Economic Development Administration, EDA, funding for infrastructure on our North Business Area located just west of the Cirrus North facility. However, the EDA funding requires a one-to-one match. We've identified $250,000 from the City of Duluth, $250,000 from St. Louis County, $371,000 from Monaco Air Duluth, our FBO, and had $560,000 identified from the State Airports Fund to fulfill this requirement. If the State Airport Fund dollars are not obtained for this project, we will have to turn back the $1.4 million in federal EDA dollars and the other $871,000 in local matching dollars we've worked hard over the past 12 months to acquire. If the project is not completed, we will lose the potential to create hundreds of aviation jobs on the north side of our airfield. Our capital improvement program also identified $1.4 million from the fund in fiscal years 2008 and 2009 for a general aviation area redevelopment in support of increased international tech stops promoted by our fixed base operator, Monaco Air Duluth. International tech stops are large aircraft, corporate aircraft, flying between Europe and the West Coast, which land in Duluth to clear customs and purchase fuel. This traffic has traditionally stopped in locations such as Bangor, Maine, or Fargo, North Dakota. Having this traffic land in Duluth and purchase fuel results in additional fuel tax revenue going back into the State Airports Fund. The size of these aircraft and their increasing operations in Duluth drives the need for additional aprons, hangars, and general aviation passenger facilities. Also identified in our capital improvement program was $1.4 million in State Airports Fund dollars that would have leveraged over $7.5 million in Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program dollars to support design and initial construction for a new passenger terminal facility. A new passenger terminal is desperately needed in Duluth to support our increasing passenger volumes and the congestion and inefficiencies we face that have been associated with a post-9/11 security era. Finally, our capital program identified $459,000 State Airports Funds dollars to support pavement maintenance, safety, and security upgrades. These projects are all critical for all aviation users in Duluth, but even more so for the Minnesota Air National Guard 148th Fighter Wing. The fighter wing, who operates a squadron of F-16s, depend on us to maintain our airfield in a first-class condition in order to support their 24-hour-a-day National Air Defense Alert mission in Duluth. Maintaining an airfield that allows the Air Guard to conduct a long-term flying mission in Duluth is critical to the health and well-being of not only our airport, our community, and the entire state. As was recently quoted by our mayor, Mayor Don Ness, Duluth is creating one of the state's greatest economic development success stories. We have built a strong aviation coalition led by forward-looking private employers. The aviation sector is extremely competitive, and we simply cannot afford delays and unpleasant surprises such as the loss of our state airport's development fund. We don't need the state to be an extraordinary leader, but we do need them to be a more reliable partner in our efforts. Recently, the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development released an economic impact analysis. This was released in December of 2007, indicating the Duluth aviation sector provides 4,434 jobs and a $1.3 billion in annual economic impact to our region. As is demonstrated by this state-sponsored study, the Duluth International Airport is a tremendous stimulus to our regional economy. To reiterate the mayor's words, we need the state to be a reliable partner with this economic engine. Over the past 5 years, Minnesota airports have consistently requested more dollars than have been appropriated from MnDOT for capital development projects that improve safety and security, enhance infrastructure, and stimulate the economy in our airport communities. With the loss of funds in 2003, many projects were deferred. The legislature's decision to transfer another $15 million out of the fund this year will set us back further and result in tremendous loss in both construction and aviation sector jobs. I fully appreciate the difficult job and pressures you all face in balancing the state budget, as this must be the number one priority during these challenging economic times. However, considering these funds were generated through aviation user fees, we must develop a strategy to first and foremost pay the fund back and ultimately maintain the integrity and reliability of the fund. We cannot continue to sacrifice needed development in our airports, which connect Minnesota business with the national and global workplace. Thank you. If I could have Bill say a few words as well.
Are there any questions for Mr. Ricks before we go? I am at some point going to ask Mr. Foster to respond to the notion of why in 2003 there was the paragraph added to pay the fund back, even though there were some, came to be some irregularities about it, and this year there is no such mention, whether that was deliberate or an oversight. Senator Youngbauer?
Actually, Madam Chair, I can answer that question. In 2003, that was my first year in the legislature, and have always been an aviation enthusiast. And both Representative Beard and I had had plenty of time to respond to that proposal to take the $15 million. And, you know, being that we all knew we're going to have some pain to face, we thought that's acceptable under a user fee type of thing to since it wasn't being used at that specific time, is to borrow it with an intention to pay it back. So having time to react, we were able to actually craft the language and allow it for a payback. But if I could continue just for 1 second, I just wanted to comment, too. I did have to leave the room for a second there and grab something to drink. Didn't have breakfast this morning. Must be old age. Needed something. You know, I think it's important to understand when we talk about these user fees, and in the global discussion as we go through hard economic times, what I hear from my constituents and a lot of people across the state is people don't want more taxes, and they're not saying they don't like to pay taxes. When they see a stunt, and I'm going to call this a stunt, when they see something like this where monies that are user fees or taxes or whatever you want to call them in this kind of a case, where they're geared towards a specific application, you're paying something with the intention of getting a specific service or a specific result at the end, and then all of a sudden that can be raided and go into the great fungible black hole of the general fund, that's when people are leery about paying taxes. If we know that what we're told up front is what the money's going for, then people are willing participants in that, but this just makes all heck break loose again when we tell people we have a problem and in certain areas we'd like to charge more or we'd like to raise taxes here or there. It makes it very hard for us legislators to communicate it effectively because when money is supposed to go a certain area and then it gets diverted from that, people are very suspicious of government and very suspicious of where the taxes all do go. So it confounds the general public and really ties the hands of the legislature because it makes us look like liars when we're telling people we need more money in this area, therefore we're going to raise fees. And if it doesn't go there, people say, no, you just want more money because you're going to spend it wherever you want. And it makes it very difficult.
I think the comment that Mr. Ricks made about what the industry needs is for the state to be reliable. And we know that businesses, if they can plan whatever the future might hold, being able to count on certain events or policies is almost more important than knowing that there's going to be a downturn. It's uncertainty that is the enemy of our business climate here, it would seem to me. Senator Dibble, and then I'll turn to Mr. King.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is to Mr. Ricks, but it relates to the question I think you wanted Mr. Foster to respond to. From Mr. Ricks' testimony, I added it up, and it looks like almost $4 million of that comes out of the state airport fund would leverage about $9 million in federal match, as well as the local, would leverage the local contribution that you were talking about as well for the EDA dollars. My question is it too late, or do we have time to save ourselves? When exactly do these monies need to be in place, and what do we know from the folks at MnDOT about whether or not these monies are going to be programmed and delivered? You know, what's the timing? Can we still do these things, or is all lost?
Mr. Ricks, do you have a response to that, or do we need to turn to someone else?
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble and members of the committee, I don't want to respond for MnDOT, but my understanding is that they are looking at all of the projects now that are coming in this month, and we'll be able to determine if there's any leftover money, and if there is, prioritize what those projects are, or where those dollars should be used. Just a comment regarding the uncertainty of funds as well. We were under the impression that those funds obviously would be there during the biennium, and as a result, invested in planning and design and engineering funds in hope that these projects, many of these projects, would move forward. And so that investment is out there. And in some situations, the state did invest in planning and design, but in others, they didn't. And so that is disappointing, and it's difficult an airport of our size to harbor that burden over Great Lakes and great lengths of time.
Thank you, Mr. Ricks. Mr. King.
Thank you, Senator Rust and members of the committee. My name is William King. Excuse me. I'm the Vice President of Business Administration for Cirrus. I'm not going to read my comments. I'm going to try and be brief in the interest of time. We've got a new product coming out, and I have to be on the West Coast in just a few hours, so I have to catch a flight.
Sure.
So thank you for taking me out of turn here. We currently employ about 1,350 employees in Duluth in our aircraft manufacturing facility, and that represents about a third of the aviation sector up in our area, just to give you some context. We currently operate in about 600,000 square feet of space, which we would refer to as a really good start. Our expectation, based on the growth that we're experiencing, even in a slow economy, is that we're going to be short by a couple of 100,000 square feet, which is part of why I'm here today, because we're directly impacted, as is our whole region, by these issues. We're not here to criticize specifically the issue of balancing the budget. We applaud that. Good job. The question is how, and the question is what is the long-term impact on these dollars? And our concern is we don't want to sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And so we're here to implore you to give some consideration to how that might be adjusted more in the context of what's been discussed today with the 2003 pledge to have those dollars come back in and hopefully support what we're all trying to accomplish. The national economy is hurting. We all know that. One of the advantages we have at Cirrus Design is that we have a product that appeals internationally. And up through the first 5 months of this year, just about 40% of our materials, 40% of our aircraft have been delivered, that have been delivered, have been delivered to overseas market. And I find that just really cool. That 40%, that the rest of the world is coming to Minnesota to buy product that was made by Minnesotans and designed and manufactured here. I think that says a lot about Minnesota, our economy, the quality of our workforce, the quality of education, and all that goes on here. So we're excited and we're bullish about what's going on, and we think our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. But that can't happen without having the infrastructure sufficient to allow us to expand. Clearly, the North Business Development Area is part of that, and our concern is with the cutting of these funds, there is not infrastructure sufficient to allow us to continue to develop on the field in Duluth. We're across the field now in the former Northwest base. There's not even fiber optic cable over there, and that's going to cost us another $600,000 just to get cabling in there. So we're concerned about the ability of to continue to expand in Duluth and employ more people and build more product here. So it's a very real concern to our company. We've been nominated and believe we're about to win an award from EDA. The city of Duluth is for the Department of Commerce for the aviation cluster that's been developed in the Duluth area. And that is in no small measure a function of not just our company, but a group of aviation-based companies in the region, not just in Duluth, but in the region, and in fact statewide, that's come together and formed a nucleus of companies to support the aviation industry. In spite of a lousy economy and a slowing economy, the aviation sector is doing very well. And in fact, in May, we had a record sales month. So we're very optimistic that we actually represent a piece of the economy that might be sustainable even in a slower economic time. And we think that that's good business for all of us. And the concern we have is by taking these dollars out, it is something akin to eating our seed corn. And our concern is, without us having the dollars to put to infrastructure in this in the North Business Campus specifically, our concern is that our $1.3 billion impact is going to be $1.3 billion. Or maybe we'll be able to grow that by a few percent over the next year. We can maybe see another 5 or 10 or 15%, and then we're going to be constrained, and we have to go someplace with this development. It's going to go someplace. Our concern is this. Help us by making sure that those dollars at least get pledged back into this fund. Help us help to develop not a $1.3 billion industry in the state of Minnesota, but 2.6 or 3.9 or 5.2. We are bullish. We believe that our best days are ahead of us. We're about to, in the next 30 days, you will see a lot of news about new aviation product flying around Duluth, and we're very excited about that. That will be our jet. We've pre-sold almost 400 units of that airplane. We're producing it over 700 units today in Piston, and we believe that this is good business for the state to bring those dollars back to the Department of Aviation so that they can continue to administer the programs. One final comment. I am a pilot. I fly all over the country, and I will tell you this. I'm proud when I come back and land in any of the Minnesota airports. By and large, they are some of the finest airports in the state, in the United States, and I fly into a huge number of them. And they're that way because our state, our Department of Aeronautics, pays attention and helps us to maintain these airports at a very high standard so that they're safe, reliable places for us to come back and land and house aircraft. And that infrastructure is critical if we're going to be able to sell them and to be able to carry insurance on those aircraft. Because if they get damaged, they aren't insurable. If they're not insurable, we can't sell them. If we can't sell them, we can't build this infrastructure. So we all rely on one another to build this industry bigger. With that, I'll stop my comments. You're welcome to read the detail of it later
Thank
on,
you
and
very
I'd be happy
much,
to answer
Mr.
your questions.
It was very interesting testimony. Any questions for him? Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both of you. Mr. Van Leeuwen. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator. I'm glad to be here. Hey, I'm Harold Van Leeuwen. I'm the chairman of the Minnesota Council of Airports. I'm also the director of the Bemidji Regional Airport. Senator Jungbauer and Representative Beard often accuse me of walking up and kicking somebody right in the shins to get their attention. I'm going to try my best not to do that today. But I am going to, I did throw my prepared comments out the window on my way down and decided to go with some other ones. First one I want to start off with is the process of taking this money and the way it happened reminded me of my dealing with my son. Somebody ran up to the ATM machine, put their card in, said, I got X amount of money in a bank, I'm going to take it, without looking at the obligations and commitments that were already out there. That affected Bemidji. It affected other airports. I heard today a comment that they didn't think there were any cancellation of contracts or projects because of the take of the $15 million. We don't know that yet. The reason we don't know that yet is because there's a tiering effect on how communities spend their money. They may have been doing a local match on a federal project because they had the money, because the state was funding a local project for them. Now they have to go back and fund that local project. So we don't know that there's no cancellations. In the case of Bemidji, there was a VOR going in, which you're going to hear about later from another pilot, that is a critical navigation aid for us. It's been out for over a year and a half now. That contract was to be let with $09, 1st of July, to be installed. We had worked through the FAA to do that with to get approval to put that system in. That project right now is in jeopardy because that money's gone. That affects aircraft landing and departing Bemidji, the airlines. We've had aborted flights because of that not being there. So to say contracts aren't being canceled, that's an incorrect statement. We don't know that yet. Director Workman indicated that he had been requested, and that was by MCOA, Minnesota Council Airports, to do an updated CIP now. That's how we will be able to assess whether there are contracts being canceled or not, by getting that in. Our problem for airports are we're in a 3 to 5 year planning process, and we're trying to hit a moving target with a from a moving target, and that gets pretty difficult for airports to do it, particularly the smaller airports. Even at Bemidji, I'm a planning staff of one. I deal with a multi-million dollar. In fact, the last 3 years have been about a $14 million construction project up there. I'm also the airport director, and I plow snow in the winter. So the airports don't have a lot of support to do this. So it's a very difficult thing for us to get in that process. So when we get an unreliable as a partner, which is what we have now, it made it a very difficult process, and we don't know what our impacts are. And we have to go back and assess that. We do believe that the first priority is safety, preservation, and maintenance of the existing airport system. This system was decided, it was decided in 1945 with the creation of the aviation funding project or scheme that's in place to have a safe, maintained system in Minnesota. It's made up of the 40 airports that are not in the primary airport system and the 96 that are. Those provide a system. Now, when Mr. Workman talks about priorities, the state does have an outline for how they prioritize projects. It's called the State Aviation System Plan. It puts in place that says we'll have so much drive time to an airport, we'll have so much access in each airport, we'll strive to have a certain level of safety and operations capability. So when we do CIPs and we send them in, the state screens those through that initial plan to look at them and creates an unofficial prioritization that way, if you want to call it that. But there is a prioritization process in place to maintain a safe system that fits the needs of the state and leads to the type of things that we have with good aircraft access, good aviation access, passenger access, and growth of business. You know, and kind of when we get into this and I go back to the talking, we're moving to a point, and Mr. Ricks talked to that says we're in a rob Peter to pay Paul mode now with aviation. We started out losing the $15 million in 2003. We plan to get it back. Now it's gone again. We're trying to capture that. They're trying to balance that. But now it's going to be every year we're going to be looking at these safety programs to try and take what we can take from here to move back and do that. That's not a good way to run the system, because when you do that, and, you know, this is something I was hesitant to use as an example, but we could clearly get to a point in 4 or 5 years under the safety and preservation being shortfall where we have an I-35 bridge collapse at the end of a runway. In short, an airplane hit short or something like that, because we aren't maintaining the system to the level of safety we need to have it at. And that's the shortcomings that come when you come to this type of management. My cynical self appears every once in a while, and that's the one that says, I'd question why the money wasn't moved back till July 1st. I'd also question why the cut occurred at 4:45 in the afternoon on Saturday. And I would tell you that that happened because the last time they gave us time to respond to it and we got written in the payback. This time they didn't, and they didn't give time to do that. And that may be because we were successful last time, and they didn't want to see us be successful this time. And that's just the cynical side of me from working about 15 years in the Pentagon and having programs, and know that when if you're a good action officer and you salvage your program, the guy doesn't give you the option the second time. So it's a little cynical part of me there. I would suggest that everybody does have to contribute to balancing budgets. It's like Senator Jungbauer said. We're not adverse to that if we know we're going to do that, and we know that it's a legitimate upfront process. But when we're sitting there with a working group trying to figure out how to make the process more competitive, make us more interesting to aviation, and at the very time we're doing that, out the back door goes the $15 million we're working with. Our credibility as a working group is in question with the community of aviation, and the whole idea of companies wanting to come to Minnesota becomes questionable. So with that, I'll open it up to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Van Leeuwen. Are there questions from members? I appreciated your insights. It does seem that the working group is really caught in the crosshairs of trying to be effective in achieving its mission. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Bracken?
Senator Rest and members of the committee, my name is Neil Bracken, president of the Minnesota Business Aviation Association, and I'm joined by the next two members on your testimony
you.
List there. Mr. Richard Sedgwick is the manager of aviation services for Target Corporation, and Mr. John Krall is the director of aviation at SuperValue.
Thank you.
I'm going to read a prepared statement from the National Business Aviation Association. Its president and CEO, Mr. Ed Bolin, was in hopes of being here, but he forwarded along this statement from the national organization in regards to this issue.
I think he has been in Minnesota previously and testified before this subcommittee, so we appreciate his being able to send us a statement through you.
Thank you. On behalf of the National Business Aviation Association, our 8,000 members across the nation, I'd like to take this opportunity to express concerns about possible reductions in state funding for airports. Currently, there are 130 NBA member companies in the state of Minnesota operating 170 fixed-wing turbine aircraft from airports throughout the state. Minnesota airports are also important destinations for businesses utilizing general aviation aircraft from across the country. We work closely with the Minnesota Business Aviation Association on issues of concern to general aviation. The MBA represents Minnesota companies that operate a wide variety of aircraft based all across the state, from War Road to Winona and from Marshall to Duluth. In today's business environment, a critical component to attracting and maintaining businesses is a strong transportation system, and that includes aviation. Airports with well-maintained runways and up-to-date navigation aids are a big plus for communities. When companies consider locations for new facility or distribution center, they often require a local airport that can meet their general aviation transportation needs. NBA members are very concerned about using revenue dedicated to aviation for other purposes. As you know, smaller communities depend upon general aviation airports to do business across the state, across the country, and across the world. In addition, reliever airports and larger communities tend to draw general aviation traffic away from commercial service airports and thereby decreasing congestion at major metropolitan airports. We urge Minnesota's legislative leaders and the governor to look for ways to maintain your current air transportation network and to ensure that all the state airport funds collected are used to support the Minnesota State Airport System. Thank you for consideration. Ed Boland, President and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association.
Thank you very much. Did you want to add anything, or shall we hear from these other two?
I think we'll continue on. That was a national perspective, and I think it's important to see that it's not just Minnesota businesses and Minnesota airplanes. It's the greater aviation and general aviation users throughout the state and the country that use our facilities here, and that's what's important with Mr. Boland's comments.
Thank you. Mr. Sedgwick?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I think it's interesting this morning because we've had a great mix of different perspectives on Minnesota aviation. And my mission this morning will not be redundant because I'm going to speak from the perspective of being an end user. My name is Richard Sedgwick. I'm the Flight Services Manager and Chief Pilot for Target Corporation and MBAA board member. The MBAA appreciates our partnership with NBAA. This morning, I would like to personalize what Mr. Boland has expressed in his letter. Target Corporation operates two Citation 10 aircraft based out of Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport to support our 1,630 retail stores across the country, with 72 of those stores located in the state of Minnesota. Approximately 60% of our flying is supporting store operations. Basically, what we do is make unannounced store visits. If we don't get into our stores on a regular basis, our guests don't get the Target brand shopping experience. So typically, we might do 5 or 6 cities in a day. Not even the people getting on our aircraft know where we're going that day, so there's no possibility of any of the store team leads knowing that we're coming to visit. We typically have an early morning departure at 7 o'clock. Our pilots are there at 5:30. We depart. We go to a city. The rental cars pull up. Our guests on board the aircraft go and visit the store and possibly one of the competitors in the city, and typically just spend about an hour, depending on the size of the market, on the ground and then off to the next place. 20% of our flying is supporting our 27 distribution centers and 5 import warehouses. Same thing, if our leadership doesn't get into those operations, they're not run exactly according to corporate plan. 20% of our flying is supporting property development. We're building 100 stores, roughly 100 stores a year, and it's important that we go and look at these markets before purchasing real estate. A typical example of a store operations trip took place on May 30th of this year. We departed Minneapolis-St. Paul at 7 o'clock with 8 passengers and visited Target stores in Eau Claire, Hibbing, Grand Rapids, and Bemidji, arriving back at Minneapolis at 5 o'clock in the evening. Again, on June 7th, our aircraft departed Minneapolis-St. Paul at 7 o'clock in the morning, visiting Target stores in Sioux City, Sioux Falls, Wilmer, Alexandria, and Brainerd, and returning to Minneapolis at 4:30. Simply, store visits are important to assure our guests a Target brand shopping experience. To have our leadership visit 1,630 Target stores across the country would be difficult without our aircraft. The weather on May 30th, at the time of our arrival in Bemidji, was 400-foot overcast with about 1 mile visibility. Thankfully, the wind favored runway 31 because the VOR is out of service and would not have allowed an approach to runway 13. This VOR is one of the projects that may not be funded because of the transfer of funds from the airports fund to the general fund. I believe that a parallel taxiway project at Hibbing Airport is also in jeopardy. These two specific operational examples that could affect our ability to conduct business in Minnesota airports without proper funding. The state of Minnesota can be proud of its airports. Having flown in every state in the country, I can say that Minnesota airports are among the best. It requires a strong partnership between the state, local, and federal government to sustain our airports at the current level. Additionally, the passion of our friends at MATA and MACOA assure that our MBAA companies have everything we require to operate our aircraft and further our business in these great Minnesota communities. And certainly, Mr. Van Leeuwen just spoke to that. We in Minnesota also deal with something called winter, which greatly increases the stress level of operating high-tech airport or aircraft in and out of our airports. And to know that there's gentlemen like this that are out there plowing those runways and that we can actually call him personally and say, we're coming in today, you know, what are the runway conditions and can you keep it clear for us? Very, very important. It is imperative that we find a solution to the funding we have lost this year. It is imperative that the funds that are raised by aircraft registration, airline property tax, and the fuel tax are used to support our many Minnesota airports. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do need to keep hearing from the businesses that are directly impacted by issues of airport safety and availability. So we thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Kroll.
Yes, thank you, Senator Rest and committee members, for allowing us to speak. I am as well an end user. All three of us actively fly in the airspace system nationally and in the state of Minnesota. And, of course, in doing so, we get the chance to experience the airports in a wide variety of different locations. And the airports in Minnesota are in great shape. But knowing the fact that they will continue to be gives us a great deal of confidence when we operate in the airspace. You have no idea as a crew member who has to be assigned to an airport in the middle of the night when you're going into one of these locations delivering a customer or else taking your team around to your various retail locations. Knowing you have the confidence in the equipment, your own training, and the network and the system of operators to know that the aircraft standard, the airport standards are to where they should be. And so we beseech you to make sure that that funding stays consistent to make sure these airports stay in good shape. The piece that I specifically wanted to talk to you and address today, though, has to do with me playing the role as a manager to my company. I am an individual member, but I'm also a pilot and a manager for SuperValue. We operate two business jets out of Minneapolis. We also have an airplane that's based in St. Louis, Missouri, and Boise, Idaho. Now, I'm required to give oversight to those airplanes, and it's one of my jobs to recommend to our company when it's time to invest in new equipment, replace what's existing, and match the equipment for the needs of the day. And one of the things that's so disheartening right now is that if I were to recommend to our company, which I need to in the next 3 to 5 years, to replace three of our four aircraft, it's hard for me to get excited about doing the aircraft replacement in Minnesota because my registration fee on a $20 million aircraft is $200,000 the first year and $180,000 the second year. I still pay my 5 cents a gallon fuel tax that goes to support the airport operations. But I can't even confidently look our management team in the eye and say, don't worry, those funds go to support the airports that we operate in. Now, that same aircraft I have in Boise, Idaho, if I were to place it there, the registration fee is $300. So we're obviously, you know, SuperValue especially wants to be a good corporate citizen. We all know that it takes funds to make this happen. But to not have the funds go where they need to go is a disappointment. I close with this. I'm such a simple-minded person. You know, I have currently two students in college. And I also have a third son who's in medical school, his third year. My daughter gets married in 2 weeks, and I know what it's like to have a budget crunch. I mean, obviously, there's times when you look around and going, some fund is going to get robbed in this household. Now, but what I would give you is this, is that I have to look at my fourth son, who's 16, and my wife, who's staring at me through the top of her glasses, and she has to know that I will be accountable to make up the difference. I ask you and the governor to make sure that this fund gets replaced. There is a lot riding on the future of aviation in Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kroll. Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple good points were made by all of you, and I just kind of want to reiterate it. is one of the things that bothers me the most in terms of the $15 million, is you hit the nail on the head, is most people think about it like our gas tax we pay as consumers when we're driving along. We all kind of share the pain evenly with on the taxes. But in this case, on the $15 million, our most important users that are paying those horrendous registration fees are the ones that got robbed in a much larger way because, like you said, if you pay a $200,000 registration fee and all of a sudden the potholes on the runway can't get patched up, I mean, there's a lot at risk. Navigational aids. We finally got an instrument landing system at the Anoka Airport, and people don't understand that. I used to do a lot of flying for my business before I became a state senator. But if we would fly, say, up to War Road during the day and all of a sudden you get an overcast at night, we couldn't even land at Anoka. There was no way to get back in there, and people don't understand some of those things. This is the basis of doing business today is many of our businesses, and we need you guys. That's why I'm where I'm going to is we need you guys to put together a list of the major corporations and even the minor businesses in Minnesota that use aircraft, because I think the average taxpayer, the average consumer, again, doesn't understand the importance of aviation in their community and doesn't understand that a lot of things we do business with every day are businesses that deal with general aviation on a daily basis to make their businesses more consumer-friendly, to get their products to market, to open new markets that the larger companies like Northwest don't serve. They don't serve the smaller towns. The people in my district at Sartec is probably the biggest company in my district that deals with agricultural chemicals. They have three aircraft now. And every city they serve is not served by the large airlines. So they need, in order to keep their business, and they want to stay in Minnesota, but they need those aircraft to service all the smaller towns and things where regular aviation does not serve, and that's becoming more and more the norm for business. And so this is important, but I'm asking you guys today, you've made a good case here, but you need to spend a little more time with the legislature, excuse me, and give us the tools to be able to argue for you effectively as well by letting us know how much aviation is in Minnesota, who are the players, how do we get the average person out there to know what you're paying in user fees, which we know, but we need to know who you all are, and you do need to have a good presence. It was good to see Bill King here. I guess I harped at him for the first 3 years I was here, and he came down for the wrong reasons the first time because he was about a plane that the state purchased, and I said, you know, I've been asking you to come here and talk to us for the last 3 years, but this is what we need. Maybe it takes something bad like this to happen to really get you guys on the ball to know that's how we protect the fund. That's how we move forward and make all these things visible, is by you guys coming before us as a, you know, a team through MBAA or whatever other course you have to take. But that's how the legislature protects more things. He who screams the loudest seems to get the protection, and that's maybe tragic, but a fact of education and having a voice that's heard is what's going to help us make sure these funds do not become fungible in the future.
Thank you, Senator Jungbauer. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Foster, I have a couple more questions for you. And one of the issues we're not going, as Mr. Foster's coming back up, one of the issues we're not going to be dealing with today, but I really do think it is something that this subcommittee and the full committee on transportation needs to look at, is indeed the structure. One thinks that specialized funds that are dedicated are about as good as you're going to get in terms of protecting them for their original mission. But the question arises, is there a better way of or better structure, organizational structure, to protect the airports fund? We're not going to get into that today, but I certainly hope those who are interested in this topic, because it does directly have an impact on their operating their businesses, to think about that. Mr. Foster, the question has arisen throughout the testimony about the payback. And Senator Jungbauer explained that for the 2003, it was his efforts along with Representative Beards to have that kind of provision in the in the 2003 bill. My question to you is, number one, was it an oversight or was it a policy decision not to include such language in the 2008 bill? And what is the impact on the forecast for the November forecast for not having that in there? I'm assuming that if the payback was in there, it would be part of the tails because it would be an obligation. Did the when the November 2003 forecast was made, how was the obligation to pay back in 2007 handled as a forecasted item, and will it be any different in the November 2007 forecast? But the first question is, was it an oversight, didn't think about it, or was it a policy decision, as far as you're aware?
Senator Ress, as far as I'm aware, you would have to talk to the governor or the House or Senate leadership. All I know is what the agreement was that was reached.
So you're not aware of whether it was an oversight or whether it was a policy decision?
I don't know either way, whether it was discussed or not discussed.
The second question is not a political question or an oversight question. It is an impact on the forecast. Can you answer that?
Senator Ress, members, the way I recall the 2003 is as Senator Youngblower explained, we were then enacting the 2004-05 budget, and tails were 2006 and 7 fiscal years. This the repayment clause, which was added to Chapter 18, was on July 1st, 2007, which was a fiscal year 8
right.
cost to the general fund. So at the time of the budget agreement, it did not have either a 2004-05 cost or a tails cost.
So it would not have had an impact on the forecast
At the end of session.
At the end of session.
I think the fall 2003, the November forecast, I think if I get the cycles right, that might have been the first time we started counting 8 and 9. It's whenever we first started counting 8 and 9, it showed up. I think you understand.
So what will be different with the November forecast of 08 relative to the fact that these funds are not, there's no promise payback even, or at what point would a forecast show the impact of whether the money was promised to be paid back or not promised to be paid back? Which forecast would show that?
Sorry, it must be my phone.
Yeah.
The forecast would pick it up depending on when the legislature said it would happen. So I think this forecast is...
And it said it would happen in May of 2008. And which it did.
The one that just happened,
mm-hmm.
the one that was in Chapter 363, that would count as a fiscal year 08 gain to the general fund. I think the language in 363, if I'm recalling, it was by June 30th, the transfer back.
Yes. So what I'm asking is, if there was language that said, okay, we're for fiscal 08, it's gone, but we want to pay it back within the next biennium, what's the difference in the November forecast by not having the promised payback in there? So here's the thing. So January, what's the first day of session? Fourth, whatever it is. Senator Youngblower, Senator Dibble, Senator Saltzman, Senator Murphy and I, others, we introduce a bill that says pay it back. What's the fiscal note going to show?
If the November forecast would be based on current law, so if the law did not change from
today,
we're
going to need to find $15 million in the general fund to pay it back because it's not an obligation.
That would be correct.
If the bill had said this year it was going to be an obligation, would we have to find that $15 million, or would it be in the forecast in the next biennium?
If I'm understanding you correctly, if it had been part of the budget agreement to repay it in fiscal 09, then that would have had to have been part of the budget agreement to get to the bottom line.
So it would have been a tail and an obligation. And the only way we would undo it is to cut $15 million as opposed to finding $15 million.
Well, I think in budget terms they're equivalent.
Well, they're certainly not when it comes to an appropriation when somebody says, well, we don't have $15 million to do that, as opposed to, oh, well, that's an obligation that's understood that we're going to do that. So the only way we deal with that is to reduce our obligation. That, as far as I understand how the appropriations committees work, that's vastly different.
Senator, I was speaking only with respect to the impact on the general fund. If you look at, and I don't have copies of this, if you look at the fund statement for end of session, there were a number of transfers to the general fund, and the total amount was $109.6 million. So there was a number of cases where other funds were directed to be transferred to the general fund. This was one of them. They include $50 million from the Healthcare Access Fund. There were a number.
Oh, but that one's going to be paid back. That's a loan. That's not just a cash grab, and we don't have any obligation there. So I would assume that's going to be in the forecast. That obligation is going to be in the forecast that would decrease the deficit if there is going to be one. Isn't that how it works or not? Depending on when the date was that it's going to be paid back. Good morning or afternoon.
Hi.
And we will close in just a moment.
That's
I just
fine.
Want to
I'm
make
Kristen.
Sure we understand what it means by not having the language that Senator Jungbauer had, what it means to the airports fund going forward.
Okay, my name is Kristen Dibdell. I'm
yes,
also with the Department
the
of Finance.
Mm-hmm.
The Healthcare Access Fund transfer, you're right, there is language for a payback, and it's based on whether or not there are healthcare savings in the market due to healthcare reform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how, we haven't decided how we're going to treat that in the forecast because it has to do with when the Department of Health would certify that those savings have been
accomplished. So that's very disappointing to everybody in this room that there was no payback provision given even the kind of conditions or criteria that you set up for the Healthcare Access Fund. And I guess I would submit that the reason why that didn't come in, given that I'm not part of that decision and maybe political or lack of thinking about it, it really will be an uphill battle, and we just don't have we're not going to have the kind of resources or criteria setting to get these user funds back to the users. And we either want an airplane owner paying, God bless them, $200,000 to put their plane here, or who in the world would do that? Put the other one in Boise. Pay $300 and fly in here when you can. Just incredible that, okay, take the money, done it before, had never done it before, 2003. Take the money, but for heaven's sake, there should have been a more reasoned obligation to pay it back. And just because the Healthcare Access Fund, you know, was the poster child of dedicated funds staying in dedicated purposes, doesn't mean that this fund should have been treated with less respect. And it's not I would hope that if it had been your decision, there would have been a reasonable obligation. And I hold the governor and the legislature are responsible and accountable for not doing that. So we have taken 2 hours of your time, Senator Jungbauer, and then I would like to adjourn.
I have some questions on how we might be able to handle this in the future, but you got my dander going again there, Senator Rest, in terms of a governor that claims to be in favor of businesses and then takes their money away with no provision to pay it back. That's very troubling.
Well, you know, one of the things I did hear is that there is a possibility for some of this, of these obligations that are on all these charts, is to do it through bonding in the 2009 year. But we need to make sure that we understand that bonding can only be done for projects that aren't started. You can't retroactively bond for something that's already ongoing. So the projects for which the Department of Aeronautics has the highest priority, that is, those that are already being done and need the second year, they're out of luck. They wouldn't be eligible for funds, that, as I understand that process, for funds that come from bonding. But be assured, the members of this subcommittee are very concerned about the obligation, and we will be working to have some legislation that addresses that. And I appreciate the final comment. I appreciate those that understand that we all have a responsibility to deal with our budget shortfalls and our long-term deficits. And this fund, like other funds, or maybe you're not going to be excused from that, but we know it is an extraordinary fund, and we need to have an extraordinary sense of responsibility for it. So,
Madam Chair, quick, the bonding suggestion, was that a suggestion to do GO bonding or bonding that's supported by the
yet.
State Airports Fund?
I don't know yet.
I'd be reluctant to bond out of the State Airports Fund. That would
I understand
be
that.
Harm that cash position.
So I wanted somebody to maybe clarify a couple things. At the federal level, and I don't know who could answer this, once something goes through a two-part process, is it first gets authorized and it gets appropriated. At the time it's appropriated, it's basically put into an account where it can't be taken back. Mm-hmm. Can we do that at the state level? Or the secondary thought process I was going through is when I was mayor, when we had MSA funds for our roads, we could encumber those funds in advance of spending them. Then it was like taking them out of the bank account and nobody could grab them back. Again, this process doesn't seem to hold true with the aviation fund. Is there some way we can change the aviation fund to make sure that in advance of spending them, they could be encumbered or they could be appropriated and therefore not be allowed to be grabbed back? So these projects that are in
Senator
the pipeline.
Jungbauer, those are going to be issues that I think we're going to take up at a later time.
Okay.
But there's certainly questions that we want to explore with people who are interested in the area.
Great.
Thank you very much for being with us today, and we stand adjourned.
Thanks for being here.
You run out of check for 200,000.